Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
What do you actually do when school isn't working for your child? We've got a brilliant guest joining us today, Lauren Vermeulen, who is the founder of Victorious, a SEND advocacy and teaching service based in North Dorset.
Welcome to the podcast, Lauren.
For anyone who's listening who's not come across the term EATAS, could you explain what it is?
So EATAS is education otherwise than at or in school. And it is for any child that is on an EHCP. That is the difference between EOTAS and elective home education. They must have an EHCP. And the difference is that it means that the responsibility of their needs not being met in a school is then on the local authority.
So it is different from home educating, because I think that's something a lot of parents and carers can get a bit confused about.
Yes, the main difference is it's the duty of care of the local authority, and by duty of care I mean funding as well. If you're electively home educating, you take the responsibility. And yes, you can still electively home educate if that's what you feel comfortable to do when your child's on an EHCP, but legally, if that child has an EHCP, they are still the duty of the LA. So in the EOTAS, education other than in school is for them to fund and support and to ensure that a Section F is being met.
Before I'd met you, I had the sense that EOTAS is something that's really hard to get. Is that true? And at what stage are parents looking at EOTAS?
Really wish I could give you a really simple answer there, Victoria, but it does look very different in every situation. And it is probably getting harder to get in some ways. So the local authority go against something called the Section 61, which is a fancy way of saying, and it's protected by the law, a fancy way of saying they have a list of schools and provisions to go through. So let's start from the very top. If your child's at a mainstream school, they then would need to consult with mainstream bases, like your ARBs they used to call. And then you have APs as part of that as well. And then we go to specialists, and then specialist independent, then online schools, then EOTAS. Throughout that, if you've got that consultation, we need to be getting the right setting. And quite often, if you have had a child come all the way from mainstream and there's emotional school based avoidant, getting back up there, and this is why I think the list is just completely backwards, because how are we going to build it up? They're not going to go to the very top of the ladder, let's say, and they've fallen all the way to the bottom. They are unable to attend. And it should be that they're getting that support. And then gradually, if it's appropriate for them, that setting and provision may change. But yes, it can be hard to get. But your evidence, this place suitable, and that's all of those schools, and you can evidence that with obviously your report, your EHCP, and your child's needs. I think we also underplay positive evidence. By that, I mean, what does work? Has your child been really engaging in something practical? Have they been engaging with a specialist tutor? Have they been engaging with something that meets their sensory needs? That is positive evidence in terms of what would work, because EOTAS as well, it is not just a tutor. It is not just a tutor. And even if it is, it needs to be one that can meet your child's needs. It is all of Section A, all of the outcomes. So how are their education, their health and their care needs being met as well? But yes, it can be hard to get. I can't give you a time frame. I know children that get it quite quickly because they've already been at a SEND school. That's another misconception. Some SEND schools can't meet the needs of a child simply because it's too noisy for them, it's very different dynamics, and it's, the setting itself is just not appropriate. So that might mean that they might get that a little bit sooner, but equally, they might have a costly provision through the school for a while longer. And then I have other situations where there isn't a school that would meet need in the area, so it would be quicker. And then other people are waiting absolute years because they're consulting with schools. So that is when often people end up using a Section 19, which you don't even need an EHCP for. That is if your child physically cannot go to school for health reasons. That includes mental health, and mental health includes emotional school-based avoidance. So if you have evidence of that and consecutive 15 days, some people go the Section 19 route, and that is only meant to be temporary, and it's not as holistic as an EOTAS because it wouldn't meet all Section F, but that is an opportunity to collect evidence of what does work. Are you seeing a benefit to your child's mental health without the pressure of school? Are you seeing that they engage with an OT or a therapist and tutor? How should learning look? Are they accessing learning when it's in the home? So that is the opportunity if you see that EOTAS is quite a long way if they're consulting with schools. But with an EHCP, it is the legal right of the child to receive an education that suits them.
Is EOTAS seen as a last resort by councils? Because they seem, just through my experiences, more keen on schools. But it confuses me a little bit because some of these schools, the specialist schools, cost quite a lot of money. Do you have any thoughts around that?
Again, price-wise, like you say, specialists cost a lot of money. And again, it is a misconception that a SEN school is the right placement for every child. And even on paper, their EHCP might be like, yes, they can meet need here. And sometimes it doesn't happen. Unfortunately, it seems a last resort. And I am confused to as why, because it's definitely not money, because the EOTAS that would meet all of Section F often can cost a lot less than a specialist school, and they are more appropriate. And that is what you're always evidencing and proving as providers, as parents. Why the EOTAS? Why can that meet need more than a provision? But yes, school is always the goal. I don't really understand why. They'll often throw the social outcomes at you and the social side of things. My opinion on that is children will socialise when they are using special interest, when they are regulated, when they are choosing to go somewhere and they have got that support out in the community, far more than they will on a rushed 20-minute lunch break. Schools aren't the place to be social. And why is that a goal? For some children, they don't have that intrinsic desire to be social. What does that even mean? And I think that is the goal, as well as with the EHCP, it's not as monitorable. It's not as, oh, they've got their standardised testing coming up. Some children will have their SATs and their GCSEs on the EOTAS if that is appropriate for them, absolutely. But I think it's not a money issue. It is a, can we monitor this issue? I'm seeing this even with cost of provisions in mainstream schools. It needs to be an Ofsted provider. Ofsted registered schools isn't the right fit for all children either, because we are still bound by the national curriculum, which not all children fall into the box of. So yes, it is seen as a last resort. That's why with the Section 61, that list of schools, yes, it's right at the bottom. It's the last resort. And that is why it's important to prove actually why is that appropriate for your child over the other options. And SEN Code of Practice does say that parents must be involved with all involvement of any specialist. So if you can still deem it as inappropriate, and that might be because of travel, we've got schools that hour and a half, that's not appropriate for so many children. We're talking about children that struggle with transitions as it is. That could be evidence that it's deemed appropriate. It could be that you can evidence that their emotional needs won't be met. It might be that it is an autistic provision and you have a child with PDA. Good autism practice is a whole different kettle of fish. There are ways you can evidence it in terms of professional evidence. And just noting down, when we have these, if your child has experienced motor school-based avoidance, you'll all be able to relate to this one where the schools do their welfare checks and they just need to lay eyes on them. How is your child after that phone call, meeting, knock at the door? Note this down. And how are they versus that, versus something that meets their needs? Let's say if it's online, it might be something like Mind Jam, which is game-led. How are they when a teacher comes in that puts emotional regulation at the core of that? We are then collecting that evidence of why that is working. And the whole time that time is being wasted because it's a last resort, we could have actually been making progress and the child could have been having their needs met. And that is why it shouldn't be a last resort. It should actually, and other LAC is temporary, which in the base case scenario it is. And the OTD has done so well, they meet their child's needs and their child, oh, actually, I do feel ready to go to provision now. That is the goal, if it is the goal that they need. It all depends on the outcomes they need to receive.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that about, does it tend to be done for short periods of time and then reviewed?
Again, how long is too good string? I've seen children need OTIS just for a few months and I've seen children need the OTIS for years. Depends on their area, depends on the provision. And so you should, in theory, have 6 weekly EOTAS check-ins with the LA, and that's when you're saying what's going well, why is this meeting need, is there anything quite missing that you need to request an extra budget for, maybe mentoring's going really well, you'd like to up the hours. It's gradual, it's supporting the child to receive not only their entitled 25 hours of education but how they should be receiving it. That might mean that they're still not able to leave the house and they're having education through providers, through online activity, through self-led subscription boxes and things like that. And it's not just the education or health outcomes. So that should be reviewed, that annual review. I often hear parents say, oh, they found a school, and do I need to say yes? No. As long as you can evidence why that would meet need less than what is currently in place. And with the OTAS, parents are like, yes, I finally got it secured, but then they're just given a tutor. And then they might as well be in a school only having their educational needs met because they're not actually getting the rest of that need support as well.
Just going to say, so when families first come to you, where are they usually at? Do you find they're usually at crisis point?
I do two kinds of things. So often I will work with families that are in a school and a parent will come to me from my SEND teacher point of view. So that is maybe when they haven't quite reached crisis point, but they're nervous that it's getting there. And that is when we would be meeting with the schools. I know we said earlier about when you feel like the EHP is not being met and you can start to see that school avoidance happening, we could intervene there. More often than not, I do meet parents at crisis point. There's been a breakdown in placement and complete emotional school-based avoidance. And that is when they would meet me to try and then get EOTAS secured. And it looks so different every situation. It might be like emergency reviews. And then we're looking at provision. We can hold a provision meeting to discuss that with the current school, with the LA. Or it might, child's already got EOTAS secured, but they've just got this lovely fancy title for OTIS secure, but nothing's actually happening. And that's what I see a lot, the standstill. The parents gone all the way to tribunal, they've got this, and often it's not even their choice. They want their child to be at school, and this is another misconception. But all parents want their child to be in a place that understood them and could meet their needs. But they have EOTAS by default, and then we're still just getting a mainstream tutor coming in. And so that is where you would, package-wise, it is anything that you link it to the outcomes. That's why I always say the outcomes are important to affect your child and where they need to go, because that is what you're linking to, and that their whole of Section F is secure. But yes, I meet parents at all different stages of the OTAS. I've met parents who've had the OTAS for 3-4 years, but all they've had is 1 hour of art therapy and 2 hours of a tutor that doesn't meet need. And then it looks like that. So I support to get it on the ground, but I also make sure that it is working on the ground as well. So again, I can't give you a straight answer. Many of these, I'd love to give you a straight answer. There's so many factors. And that's why I pride myself on offering bespoke services, because it's not a one size fits all. No child is the same. No EOTAS should be the same. And no situation is the same. And that is why I make sure that I get to know the child through the parents and the history. And what do they like? What are they about? What would make them motivated to access learning? However that looks like for them. And because there's not a timeline, there's not a standardized copy and paste package that you can get on ChatGPT. There's not. There's ideas, Absolutely. And I think there's wonderful EOTAS parent groups and people discuss these packages. And then parents say to me, but my child can't access that. They can't go to an AP. That's okay. That what can they access then? We have children housebound. What are they accessing? And then you have other children, their whole EOTAS is 25 hours APs and they love it. But is the OT input happening at the AP? So do we need a little bit of extra to make sure there's anything missed on section F? And that's why a lot of parents do use professional reports like EPs, worth of weight in gold, to make sure that in section F, the need of EOTAS is spelt out. So if it does include therapy, if it does include OT, it does include SALT, that is spelled out.
So do parents need to proactively arrange an educational psychologist to come and see the child if they've got EOTAS or before?
No, so anything like that, you might go the private route.
Okay.
And ultimately, that is going to be a true reflection of your child. And I will say blank if you're an EOTAS most of the time, but they're the ones that will identify that and appropriate outcomes. Or it might be that you're way early in the stages. I've had children come completely from home education already, never been in a school building, to the EOTAS, or mainstream school with no EHCP, then EOTAS. So then they might have a commissioned EP from the LA, which is fine, but it's probably not going to spell out EOTAS. But that is where you were creative, and that is where it does help having someone like myself or an advocate involved, because that is when we can say, does this support my child's needs? Does it look like the EOTAS? And if it doesn't naturally, that is when you just use the outcomes. If you see these emotional regulation outcomes, that is the need for therapy. That is the need for a neuroaffirming tutor. All these need, and it's so hard to spell it out, but you have to, because unless the LAC, oh, it's not an education outcome. Like, I've had LAs recently say that Kiwi STEM boxes don't relate to the curriculum. It doesn't all need to meet the curriculum. It needs to meet what your child needs. How are they going to access learning? And STEM boxes absolutely do. It's science and technology and maths. But you need to be creative as well, because I can guarantee it's not just meeting national curriculum. It is emotional regulation. It is helping heal that emotional school-based avoidance, as well as it's fine motor skills, OT. Anything is learning when you change the way you look at it. We are so conditioned to see learning as tick box, national curriculum, standardised testing, and the real world. What is the real world? The real world is self-advocating for yourself, life skills, your mental health and emotional regulation coming first. I left school a good amount of years ago now, nearly 20 years ago. You know, I left school knowing how to calculate the area of a triangle and all these kind of things. Couldn't emotionally regulate. Didn't know how to go to the bank. Didn't know how to do any of these self-advocacy, standing up for myself, keeping myself safe. All of these things that put me in a vulnerable situation, which is even more enhanced for neurodivergent learners. What's the priority here? What is the real world? And we hear this, that children are expected to build resilience. And it's Lisa from ASD with a GNT. I'm sure lots of you know her. She says about the part-time timetables and going into a situation that makes you uncomfortable compared to spiders. Are you going to just go into the box of spiders for an hour versus a day? You're still having to go through that. It's all about emotional regulation. What is our actual goal for that child? And do you know what parents say? And I say, what do you want for your child? 9 out of 10 times, what do they say? I want my child to be happy. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, of course. When you're talking about the packages, as a parent, when your child's born, you might have this idea that they're going to go to school and school deliver the teaching. And when your child starts going off on a different path, then it might be mainstream to specialist. And then you are said, okay, they can have EATAS. Off you go and put together a package of what that could look like. That's massively overwhelming. And that certainly for me, that does not feel like my skill set at all. Like you were saying, could it just be tutoring? And that's why what you offer parents and carers is so valuable. I think it's so good that we don't have to go it alone and try and create this package that links with the outcomes in the AHCP and know all this stuff. Because just those things that you were talking about, like the STEM boxes, like MindJam, they're things I've never heard of until I met you. I'm just really grateful that we don't have to do it all by ourselves and that there are people like you there to help.
Thank you, Victoria. And I think our goal is the children need to be met on Section F. And I think LAs are reliant on that. Putting that accountability on a parent of, okay, you tell us what you need, but you must link it to the outcomes. Parents are reading the outcomes. They're like, they might not be a teacher. They don't know how to meet those goals. And I think people will then start searching up things, but actually you need that support of, it isn't just an education. And I hear so many parents say to me, oh, my child's not accessing any learning. And I say, oh, okay. And then they go on to describe that their child did a dramatic thing about space, or they did some cooking the other day. They went to a swimming activity with their friend. And I'm like, you've just described about 10 learning links, especially on their EHCP, but we are so conditioned of what learning should look like. So it does sometimes take those other eyes to say, it's not just an educational healthcare plan, and it's not just an education out of school. It is an holistic education. It is their needs. And that is a misconception. That is why it is not just national curriculum. It's not just tutoring. It is whatever they need to receive an education. It is all of their needs. And I am very much emotional regulation first. If you want to see education, if you want to see accessing learning, meet them where they're at. And it's a disservice to them to not.
You've worked with so many families and helped them secure EATAS. Can you share any examples of the impact you've seen from the children you've worked with from having the right provision?
Yes, I can. So I can come at this from two points of view, because I do still work directly with a few children. I'm a big part of one package at the moment with a child, 15 hours with him. And the impact of being able to flourish on, it's got a complete Minecraft-based curriculum that I designed, and he's had access to community. This was a child that a year ago struggled to have anyone in the house, struggled to access any kind of what you would say learning, is now going out and about, trying new foods, having his sensory needs met out and about whilst we're having conversations about puberty. We are accessing maths, English, science, because I've changed the way I look at it. There's not one piece of written work, but the progress now of where he is a year later, and the same with many children that I've worked in school and out of school, because I was able to put emotional regulation first. I can see those little tiny cues of where he's at. Oh, he's not quite regulated at the moment. We'll wake him out. And as well, the pleasure of being able to actually collab with parents on that, because I am very much of, in a SEND school, you've got four or five staff. If you are not all singing from the same hymn sheet, a child is going to find that missing link. It's the same with your mentors, your tutors, your parents. We've all got the same goal. And when the children know what the same ethos is, the same boundaries, and however that needs to look for the child, that is where we see real learning. And I had a child that, yeah, he was accessing maybe last year, 6-7 hours of actual provision, and now with all those other needs being met, yeah, he's accessing his full legal right of almost 25 hours. He's got a mentor, he's got me, he has all that support. And that all came through those things that don't traditionally look like learning. That does look like going to the arcades out in the community. He wasn't able to leave the house for years. So as well as that, there is families that I then advocate the package for and design the package for. And what I always start with is, what is your child's special interest? What do they like to do? Who are they? Where are they now? And then I work backwards in a way. I'll go from, what would this look like for the child, best case scenario? And that can look so different for every family, versus then I'll link the outcomes. Then I'll link the needs and the provision, and make it work for what the child needs rather than the other way around. The whole square peg round hole, that's I go the other way around. And the progress I've then seen, again, going from not being able to access provisions and with the right support coming to them, meeting where they are then, oh, actually, I feel a bit confident now. I'm going to go to an AP. I'm going to go to this provision. But ultimately, in terms of who I've done packages for, just that their child's now receiving a package that works for them, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think I've had children from SEND schools that are now actually able to have OT, have sensory input, have their speech and language, they, you know, pre-verbal children that use an ASE that they weren't able to do in school, but they are now because they're emotionally regulated at home. I guess other than I would love to see more of the impact. I do stay in touch with parents that I have worked for and have done personal budgets for and designed EOTASs. I would love to see how the children are flourishing. I do have lots of check-ins, but ultimately that would be for the parents to say the impact more than me.
It's lovely to hear. If a parent or carer is listening right now and thinks, I think my child needs EOTAS, what is the first step they should take?
Where are they? That's the thing. Where's the journey? Where is it? Where are they? Is their child already not attending school? Because it's not something we can go, oh, actually, I want their needs to be met here. Again, it's all about that section there for their provision. If that is being met in a school, then the first step, obviously, is that you know the school going to send the commit need. But the first step, same with the EHCP outcomes, is we go to the school first. If your child is already not at school and has an EHCP, it would be going straight to the local authority. But stepwise, it can just look very different for everyone because some have got a placement on their Section I, some haven't, some the EHCP doesn't look right for the child and it isn't meeting their needs because it's not the right outcomes. I would love to give you a play-by-play of what stages it is. That is why I offer free one-to-ones with parents because I will sit with you and just go, where are we? Where do we want to be? What does your child need? And that is when I'll be able to guide you. Okay, do you need to go and send law route and get an advocate involved to get it legally binding? And then I'll collab with the advocate or with the parents directly and say, okay, this is what I do think they need. Do we collab with the school and the setting? Is that possible? Is there a chance that they could reintegrate back into that school? And schools, if you can't meet need where that child is at that moment, you're doing them a favour, can't meet need. Because that ultimately rolls the ball for an annual review to go, we need a provision meeting. What does this child need then? Because I know as a teacher, it's heartbreaking. I think I say it in some schools, we can't meet this child's need because they can't come in. They physically can't come in, so we can't meet need. Because while you're still saying you can, because yes, you probably can if they're in, but if they're not in, you can't. So we're at catch 22 now of we're then limiting what they could maybe provide. And schools can provide start bits of EOTAS. It would look like EOTAS, but it's not. It's like across supervision. But is the goal always seems to be when you do even EOTAS, for them to get back into school. It's not for them to get back into school necessarily. It's for their needs to be met consistently, all of Section L.
Thank you. And I'm going to 100% recommend that if anyone is in that position that they do book one of your free calls because you're so knowledgeable and you've helped us so much. So 100% recommend that if you're struggling and you want some advice, book a call with Lauren.
And where can people find you and Victorious?
I do have a website and it is victorious.co.uk. I am also on Instagram. They get everything to my website. You can book via my website to see the spoke to what the parents need.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll put links to your website in the show notes so people can click through and find you easily. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, ladies. It was nice to chat the world to rights.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.